firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Yesterday on Through the Bible, we saw that revival and peace came to Judah under the reign of King Jehoshaphat. But today, we'll see war return as Jehoshaphat enters into an unlikely partnership with evil King Ahab. Welcome aboard the Bible Bus. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our continuing journey through God's entire Word begins in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 at verse 1. So open your copy of God's Word, find your seat on the Bible Bus, and let me share a few letters from our fellow listeners. First, we've got a letter from a listener of our Serbian language broadcast. She writes, I've been very sick and needed surgery. During this time, I could not do anything but read the Bible and pray. Your daily teaching helped me through the difficult period. As I understood His Word better, God gave me the will to fight for my health. May the Lord bless your work that touches the hearts of the listeners. Isn't that great? Here's another letter. This is one from a listener of our Chhattisgarhi program. That's in India. He writes, I'm 47 years old and a tailor. I used to worship many other gods, but now I know the one true God and have accepted Him in my life. One day when I was tuning my radio at my shop, I found your program. I liked your songs and teachings, so I started listening regularly and contacted your office. They explained to me briefly about the true God who loves people and suggested that I continue to listen and to read my Bible. After listening to your studies in Acts and Romans, my life was turned upside down. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I stopped worshiping other gods. I thank God that His presence and peace filled my heart. When I shared God's truth with my wife and children, they also chose to believe in Jesus Christ. But some of my relatives and neighbors have begun to oppose us. Please pray that we will be strong in the Lord and stand for Him among our people. Well, how's our time in God's Word changing your life? We'd love to hear your story. You can share it by leaving a message on our Facebook page or emailing BibleBus@ttb.org or writing to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the lessons that Your Word has for each one of us. As we study, may Your Spirit speak clearly to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're in 2 Chronicles, 19th chapter. And last time we began the story of Jehoshaphat and the great revival that came to the southern kingdom, to Judah, because of this man's ministry and this man's life. He had just one blot upon it. His son had married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and that brought him into the family, and as a result, you find that he joined affinity, as we're told, with Ahab in a warfare that almost cost him his life. And he returned home a sadder but a wiser man after that experience, and you find that he's not easily induced or enticed to go on another expedition with Ahab. Of course, Ahab's not around. Micaiah the prophet told him he wasn't coming back, and he didn't come back. But the son of Ahab and Jezebel wanted him to join with him in a business enterprise, and Jehoshaphat was reluctant to do that, of course. But now, on the way back home, God has the prophet to meet him, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. Now, Jehoshaphat was a remarkable man, but this marriage of his son into the family of Ahab, of course, actually brought judgment from God upon him and his nation. And also, a tragedy was averted. God never blesses this sort of a thing, and I do not believe that today he blesses mixed marriages. I think if you look at them, you'll find, for the most part, they're not happy marriages at all. Now, there is another lesson. In fact, there are several here that I would like to call attention to. Another one of these lessons is that he says, shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Now, I do not know how much he thought of Ahab and Jezebel. Naturally, his son marrying into the family, he probably wanted to establish good relations. And now the prophet rebukes him. God never asks you to love the enemy of God like that. Now, it's one thing to love a sinner. It's another thing to love his sin. It's one thing to hate a sinner and another thing to hate his sin. We need to distinguish between the two. Hate the sinner's sin, and if he sticks with it, then he's identified with his sin. There's no other alternative, my beloved. There's some people that, very candidly, they're God's enemies. They're the enemies of the Word of God. They're the enemies of Christianity. They're inveterate enemies. Now, a very pious fellow said to me years ago, he said, I pray for Joe Stalin. Well, I didn't. I make no apology for it. That man was brought up apparently in a school where he was taught the Bible. He had an opportunity, and what he turned and did, I see no reason. I do not believe that God asks us to go around with this type of lovey-dovey sort of thing that we're hearing so much about today. I do not think that this type of thing is honoring to God. I think it leads to hypocrisy because it's so easy to make a statement like that. I found out that these have said to me how much they love me, and I've had several that have been very extravagant in their statements, and they were the ones that I found out were not even my friends. They turned out to be enemies. So I'm not sure that God wants us to get into that hypocritical position of running around and mouthing that we love everybody when there are very few people really that we do love. But we are to love God's people. I do know that. And we're to love the sinner in the sense of trying to get him to Christ. But that does not mean we're to compromise with his sin at all. Now, there is another tremendous lesson that is here that I would not want you to miss. God did not put the son of Hanani, the prophet, in the way when he went up to join himself with Ahab and Jezebel. At that time, he never had the prophet get up and give him a nice little message on separation. You ought to be separated from this man, and you ought not to go up. Now, there are a great many people today that have made themselves God's spiritual policemen to tell everybody else how they ought to be separated today and who they can associate with and who they can't associate with. I'd like to say that we saw this back in Romans, you'll recall. God's made it very clear that we are not to judge other people in questionable matters at all to begin with. And after all, these people do not come before us for judgment anyway. And Paul says in Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now that man that you're criticizing because he's not as separated as you, God's going to make him stand because he has a personal faith in Jesus Christ. This man, Jehoshaphat, was God's man. He made a mistake, but it wasn't up to Jehu to tell him not to go and do it and sit in judgment upon him. It's after he's had this experience, he's learned his lesson, Now God has a message for it, and it's God who will give the message. And I would just like to put it like this. I will have to give an account someday for my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my master. You are not, and I'm not your master. The Lord Jesus is your master. And in view of the fact I'm going to have to give an account there, that is the thing that is keeping me busy, so I'm not going to have time to sit in judgment on you. And I trust you'll not sit in judgment on me, because after all, it's not your business. It's His business. And if I'm wrong, He'll take care of that. He took care of Jehoshaphat, I can assure you that. And He doesn't need help from the outside. I think this is a tremendous passage of Scripture for us today. Now, notice some of the reforms that Jehoshaphat engaged in here. I think he's a wonderful man, by the way. Verse 4, and Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Now he said you are to stand in God's place, and there's no iniquity with the Lord, so you don't be involved in it. And God doesn't show any respect of persons, and don't you either. And don't you take a bribe, because you can't bribe God, that is for sure. So here is, by the way, a tremendous set of rules for judges, the principles by which they ought to govern. And that, I think, is the entire difficulty with our legal system today. When a man sits on the judge's bench and a godless man sits there and he does not feel a responsibility to God, he's a dangerous judge. And I don't care who he is, friend. He's a dangerous judge because he's be subject to all of these. To begin with, he's apt to make a wrong judgment. And another thing is that he'll apt to show respect to persons. And he could maybe be led to take a bribe. Now, these are things today that are very important and may explain one of the problems we're having today in this land of ours. Now, will you notice, verse 8, moreover in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat said of the Levites and of the priests, you notice how this man has organized everything in the kingdom and actually around God. Now we come down to chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see now this man, that he has a normal reaction. He's afraid. And he goes to God, though in prayer. And that's not a normal reaction. That is something that only a man of God would do. And he went to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, now listen to him. This is verse 6 of chapter 20. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Now, this man's doing something that his father Asa did not do. Asa did not rest upon the experiences of the past. That should have given him faith. This man, knowing what God has promised in the past and what God has done in the past, why, he now rests upon the promises of God. And he goes on to go over this entire situation, and he concludes this prayer at verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. What a scene, and what a king, casting himself entirely in a helpless situation upon God. What a wonderful thing it is. Now will you notice verse 14? Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Do you notice how these prophets and the different ones that are brought across the page of Scripture identified? It's always given a long genealogy to identify them, but it was very important. I wonder how many of you listening today know who your great, 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 great grandfather was. I haven't any idea who mine was. Now, verse 15. Listen to him now. He's going to be God's spokesman. Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and vow, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And that is something that I need to remind myself of. Now, maybe I shouldn't put this on radio. Maybe I ought to turn the radio off and the microphone and just talk to Vernon McGee now. But it's so easy for me to forget that this is the Lord's work, and this is his work, not mine, it's his. And I go at it like it's mine, and I forget it, and I begin to carry the burden and face the problems and the difficulty. But every now and then, why, I'm reminded that this is God's work, and I've dedicated this radio to him. It's his. He can do with it anything he wants to. But I forget that every now and then, especially when problems come up, and I forget sometimes to turn it over to him. I wonder maybe if that might fit your situation today. The battle is not yours. It's God's. And since it's his, and I say this reverently, he's going to have to fight. He's going to have to work the problem out. Oh, I think that is the secret of prayer today, is to go in faith. And I think this is the kind of faith now that we need, is to take these problems, these burdens, as the hymn has it, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. My trouble is I don't leave it there. I spread it out before him and say, look, and then I put that old sack of problems right back on my back and I start out again with it. He says it's his. Oh, my friend, how wonderful it is. Don't be afraid, Jehoshaphat. The battle is not yours. You couldn't fight it. It's God's. And I find myself, I'm sure you do, in situations, I cannot extricate myself. I cannot see my way out. And God says, it's my battle. Turn it over to me. Oh, that we might learn to turn it over to him. Now listen, verse 20. There came the enemy. Jehoshaphat bowed himself to the ground, turned it over to the Lord. And we find here, verse 20, and they arose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen to this king. What a ruler. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And I think God wants to say to us today, he wants to say, believe in me. Trust me. Rest in me. And believe my word today. Rest in it. Don't listen to what Dr. Ph.D. has to say. He hasn't any word to say. Listen to what God has to say. And don't even listen to Vernon McGee. Listen to what God has to say. And this is what he says. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe its prophet, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, that's a very funny way to organize an army. But Joshua had learned to do that, and Jehoshaphat is another man who learned to trust God like that, especially in battle like this. Well, what does he do? Organize singers. Well, I think you ought to get out your atom bomb at a time like this when you're this health. He didn't. He just organized the singers to go ahead to praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And you want to know something? I'm not going to read this, but the Lord gave them the victory. They won the battle. Well, let me put it like it should be. God won the battle for them. Verse 26, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraca, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Beraca unto this day. Now, Beraca is a name taken by several churches in this country today. Good name, by the way. It means it's the place to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. And every church ought to be a Beraca church then. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries, harps, trumpets, unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And it is God, my friend, who gives rest and peace today. And our nation hasn't learned that. We think if we, you know, have this kind of an alignment and this kind of treaty, we won't have to fight. Well, we have fought two world wars in order to bring peace in the world, and all we've got's war. You know why? Because God hasn't given us peace. And the reason is we just haven't asked him, friends. That is it. And we find now, verse 34, now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they're written in the book of Jehu, the son of Anani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. Now, chapter 21, verse 1, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, what kind of a man is Jehoram going to be with such a wonderful father? Well, notice what he did. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, quite a list of them there. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold, precious things, with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and Divas also the princess of Israel. In other words, he eliminated all competition by the most dastardly means that is imaginable, by slaying these. Actually, why did he do this? He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. God doesn't bless mixed marriages, friends. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he'd made with David, as he promised to give a light to him and his sons forever. This is the place where God ordinarily would have exterminated this line. But you see, God always makes his promises good. We're going to see that next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What kind of king will Jehoram be? Well, we'll find out tomorrow as God sends the prophet Elijah to speak the truth. To listen to this program again, visit ttb.org. Tomorrow, our journey through 2 Chronicles continues in chapters 21 to 24. So why don't you invite a friend to hop aboard for the ride with you? And when you do, be sure to let them know that Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our study are available for free download at ttb.org/notes. Or they can get all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in our newest resource called Briefing the Bible. To download it immediately or request your one free printed copy, visit ttb.org/briefing the Bible. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you out. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.